the late hymn writer Horatio Spafford, who penned the familiar song birthed out of personal heartache at the loss of four children who drowned at sea. He left a lingering legacy for generations to come with his original lyric, "It Is Well With My Soul." Well, here on this final day in the month of April, we've reached the last message in our topical series from Chuck Swindoll called A Life Well Lived. We'll celebrate men like Spafford, Daniel, and countless others who refused to compromise their integrity. Let's turn to the Old Testament book of Daniel as Chuck Swindoll concludes his message, Enjoying the Rewards.
Turn to Daniel chapter 6 now. I want you to see his integrity. It seemed good to the king, that's Darius, to appoint 120 satraps. Think of the word governors. To appoint 120 governors over the kingdom, that they should be in charge of the whole kingdom. And over them, over the 120 governors, notice in verse 2, he appointed three as commissioners. So we got 120 answering to three who answer to the king. The purpose is accountability, of course. Verse 3, then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the vice regents and the governors. Because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. However, before the appointment is made, and as the word leaks that Daniel's going to get this appointment, his colleagues, his contemporaries decide it's time to do an investigation and show the king that he's not qualified. But they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption. Isn't that a remarkable statement? Why? He was a man of integrity. My desire now is to move from Daniel to our lives and to encourage you. Write down six rewards of a life well lived. Six rewards of a life well lived. The reason I identify the number, there may be 15, there may be 20, but these are six that come to my mind when I think about integrity. When I think about Daniel, why they didn't find a ground of accusation against him. What can you count on by way of rewards? Here are the six. Number one, the sustained cultivation of exemplary character. The sustained cultivation of exemplary character. I can almost hear the way Winston Churchill used to refer to it. Character! 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 The sustained cultivation of character. Day after day, year after year, the one who commits himself or herself to these virtues can rest assured that those qualities are most beneficial as they take place within us. There emerges a growing presence, and you don't even have to think about it. It takes place within you, not because of you. There is a cultivation of exemplary character. Second, the continued relief of a clear conscience. Who hasn't tossed and turned through the night struggling over having done something or said something wrong that previous day? The continued relief of a clear conscience comes when our conscience is clear and clean. The voice of the conscience is eloquent. It's convincing. It is relentless. Hopefully it isn't seared in your life, so that in its tenderness, it works at you and it grates on you and makes you restless, awakens you in the morning and sometimes early before dawn as you think, I've got to make this right. A freedom in your inner spirit will emerge along with the return, I might add, of a wonderful sense of humor. I'm serious. I have found among those people with integrity that if there is the full cultivation of these characteristics, there comes a freedom of life and a sense of humor that sort of bubbles up, sort of comes out the top and takes the edge off of life. Fred Allen, one of my favorite comedians of yesteryear, used to say, you have to laugh. If you don't laugh, it'll go down and spread your hips. Some of you, I notice, have not laughed as you should have laughed, and it's begun to spread your hips. A clear conscience gives you reason, not in jest at the text or sacred things, but you laugh at life. You laugh at yourself. You take God very seriously, but you don't take yourself all that seriously. It's part of a clear conscience. Third, here's the third to write down. The personal delight of intimacy with the Almighty. The personal delight of intimacy with the Almighty. Not just a relationship, but an intimacy. You and he are on speaking terms. You talk to him regularly and you hear from him regularly. Kent Hughes writes this in a wonderful book I wish every man in this place would buy and read, The Disciplines of a Godly Man. That's really worth your money to buy that book. Wives, that's a great book to get your husbands in memory of the cruise we've taken together. The Disciplines of a Godly Man by Kent Hughes. In it he writes, a transparent soul is a haven for the Spirit of God. A person with integrity is transparent. They're not afraid that something is going to be found out that isn't known. Here's the fourth. The priceless inheritance of a lingering legacy. The priceless inheritance of a lingering legacy. Much is said in our day and has been said in years past about legacy. Most of it rather trite and shallow and superficial. But in this case, none of that is true. Here is a path that leads to the kind of lingering legacy anybody would want to be remembered by after he or she is gone from this earth. A life well lived is a life that leaves a magnificent legacy. Ken Geyer has written a wonderful book called A Father's Gift, The Legacy of Memories. In that book, he includes a page that reads like this. What pictures will my son remember when he comes to the plain granite marker over his father's grave? What will my daughters remember, or my wife? I've resolved to give fewer lectures, to send fewer platitudes rolling their way, to give less criticism, to offer fewer opinions. From now on, I'll give them pictures they can live by. I love this. Pictures that can comfort them and encourage them and keep them warm in my absence. Of all I could give to make their lives a little fuller, a little richer, a little more prepared for the journey ahead of them, nothing compares to the gift of remembrance. Pictures that show they are special, they are loved. Pictures that will be there when I am not. Pictures that have within them a redemption all their own. The priceless inheritance of a lingering legacy. I know you want that. I know every person under this roof wants that. This is the path that leads to it, what we've been talking about. Number five, the rare privilege of being a mentor. The rare privilege of being a mentor. It is one thing to be a teacher. It is another thing to be a leader. It's another thing to be a boss. Even a friend or a companion or a hero. But when you move into the role of a mentor, you have moved to perhaps the highest echelon of a relationship. You see, mentors don't advertise themselves. They don't promote themselves. They're chosen. They're chosen by the other person. I chose several men in my life to be mentors. Not one of them asked me, could I be your mentor? I watched them. I saw the life they lived. I got to know their families, and as time passed, I saw in them character qualities that I wanted so much in my own life. I saw disciplines that I lacked. I saw characteristics that would enhance my life, and I chose them to be a mentor. This will move you into the rare privilege of being someone's mentor. And hopefully before we pass from this earth, we can name a few people who are in that category in our lives. And number 6, the crowning reward of finishing well. The crowning reward of finishing well. If there is one haunting thought that hangs in the back of the mind of a person who longs to be one of integrity, it is the fear of winding up our lives beaten down, beached, and broken. You may recall the words of T.S. Eliot in his work, Journey of the Magi. This is the way the world ends, not with a bang, but with a whimper. Oh, please, not that, Lord. Not that. When it comes to finishing one's life, I cannot think of anything more painful or dreadful than knowing that you finished poorly or weakly. Finish well. Finish strong. I tell people, I can think of anything better than dying in the pulpit. I'd love to just be preaching my heart out, and that's when I go. You can hear my chin hit the pulpit on my way down, and I'm gone. What a great way to go. Rather than sitting out in the back porch complaining about life or making life miserable for my wife and family, becoming a crotchety old man. I want to close on a very significant and serious note. It's about my friend Bob. Bob now has a very responsible position at Dallas Seminary, and I've gotten to know him there. I didn't know him before we brought him on as a part of our staff, and now that I've gotten to know him better, I've been able to get into his life more and to hear a few of the stories that made his life as great as it is. So that I don't miss a word, I'm going to read what I've written as I close. Bob is from a large and closely knit Italian family. The lengthening and magnificent shadow of his father's life of greatness and uncompromising integrity spread across each of the children from their birth until his death, which came late in his life. Bob has nothing but pleasant memories of being with his father, listening to his stories, watching him endure numerous and stressful tests, laughing and lingering around the supper table, and observing his tender, affectionate relationship with Bob's mother, his wife of many decades. He was clearly the leader of their home, decisive, fair, kind, humble, joyful, and pure. Suddenly, Bob's wonderful father died. Even though all the children were grown and now on their own, most of them married, the jolt of his being gone was almost more than the family could manage. Their grief knew no bounds. It ran deep as tears flowed and hearts broke. Following the funeral, it became necessary for all of them to force themselves to go on with their lives, which included the difficult tasks of removing the man's clothing from the closet, wrapping up his financial affairs, and finally going through the remainder of his personal effects. All those tasks were shared by the adult members of his family. Bob was chosen to go through his personal affairs. That was his responsibility. He didn't want it. He would be the one who would sit down and look through the things that other eyes had never seen, some of them not even the man's wife, Bob's mother. Though reluctant to do this, because of that twinge of fear that gripped him wondering what he might find, he hesitated before saying yes. Would he uncover some secret sins? Would he locate evidence of private compromise? Would the man's computer reveal some questionable sites he visited frequently? Would there be invoices he never paid, traffic tickets he had ignored and buried from view, some picture or love note from an otherwise unknown woman with whom the man had spent time? Bob dreaded the thought of anything tarnishing the image of the man who had been not only a marvelous father, but had become his hero, his mentor, his model for life. Though fearful and reluctant, Bob did accept the task. With diligence and cautious concern, he dug in all alone behind closed doors. Hour after hour, he silently sifted through the deceased father's personal belongings. He read journal entries, looked through dozens of photographs, examined financial records, thumbed through recent and dated handwritten notes, unlocked little private areas of his internet activities, checked out copies of letters written and received, and finally came to the man's most personal little boxes that every man owns. Sealed envelopes, examining every file, every folder. Meticulously and tediously, Bob searched through everything. And to his great relief and delight, he found nothing that was even near suspicious or questionable. Nothing. The man was as clear and clean in his private life as he had been before his family and in the eyes of the public, a modern-day Daniel who was faithful. No negligence or corruption was found in him. Bob began to weep audibly, overjoyed that the man he had admired all of his life was everything he had believed him to be. And then he said, he stood to his feet and danced all around the room going, "Yes! Yes! 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 Yes!" See, the rewards of a life well lived never end. They never end. I want all of us to bow our heads after a sobering time together like this. My concern isn't Bob or Bob's father. It isn't Solomon and Solomon's father. It isn't even Daniel. My concern is you and me. You and me. I think some of you might very well have come to the conclusion that this is the reason you came on the cruise. This is the talk you needed to hear. I didn't know that. I planned this months ago. But you and I have met each other with these things brought before us. And may I say this? They are most convicting to me personally. I stand not as your judge. I am not qualified to even cast an opinion on your life. I'm so busy working on the logs in my own eye. The only thing I can imagine that you could put your finger on that would cause you not to be living a life like you ought to be living is that you don't know the Savior. And you're therefore not sure of your destiny. To say nothing of continuing a life on this planet. And that might be the reason you came today. So I point you to Christ, the one Horatio Spafford believed in, who got him through the death of his four children at sea. The same Lord that Daniel believed in, who led him into a life of such integrity that not even those searching for wrong could find a shred of evidence. The same Lord that the people around you trust in and believe in. You see, in order for you to know God and walk with Him, the journey passes through the cross. It's a trust that you place in Jesus Christ to take away your sins, to begin the clear and clean work deep within your heart. If you've never done that before, today's the day. In fact, we have a booklet for you named Destiny. Paul will mention it. He'll talk about that in a few moments. If you know the Lord and these words have become convicting to you, you hardly need anything more from me except you have a Savior. He's ready to hear your cries. He's ready to clean up your life. He's certainly willing to forgive the things that have broken your relationship and caused some kind of barrier to happen between you and Him. As the sins are admitted, repented of, and forsaken, it's remarkable what a difference it can make in your future. And so, Lord, we want it to be well with our souls. We so want to live a life like this. Not that we might talk about it or that others might see it, but that we might know these rewards of a life well lived. Help us, our Father, as we do the hard work of searching our souls and coming to terms with the things that need to be addressed. May we not for a moment deny them or run from them, but address them and bring them before you to do what only you can do. And that's change our hearts, change our lives. In the blessed Savior's name we pray, and everyone said, Amen.
Listening to Insight for Living. And if you're making a decision to follow Christ today, we want you to have a free booklet Chuck Swindoll mentioned just a moment ago. It's called Destiny. Just give us a phone call and we'll make sure you receive a copy. Today's study represents the fourth and final in the mini-series called A Life Well Lived, and it's the last day we'll mention getting the DVDs. This series was presented at a cruise conference to Alaska, and gratefully, we had cameras on board the ship. As a result, you can watch Chuck share this compelling series when you purchase the DVDs online at insightworld.org. And if you're intrigued by the prospect of joining us in Alaska for the next conference this summer, you'll find all the details online at insight.org/events. It's also the last day we'll mention the free CD from Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll. If you've never contacted us before, stick around and jot down our phone number. We'd like to give you the CD called Getting Past the Guilt of Your Past. It contains a message from Chuck, followed by a personal story of pain and forgiveness shared by Chuck's wife, Cynthia. Chuck?
Some time ago, my sister Lucy asked me a probing question. She asked, "What's your favorite feeling in all the world?" You know, it's sort of a tough question to answer. After some deliberation, I finally came up with this answer. My favorite feeling is accomplishment. Sounds like a type A guy, doesn't it? Whether it's finishing preparations for a message or completing the painstaking process of writing a book, there's nothing quite as satisfying as crossing off the last item on my to-do list and saying that great word, done. And there's no clearer expression of accomplishment than the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. Remember those words He spoke only hours from the cross? He prayed to the Father, "I glorified You on the earth, having accomplished the work which You have given Me to do." John 17:4. And then came those 6 agonizing hours when He hung on the cross. Even there, He kept His eye on the goal. Just before He died, Jesus pulled against the nails and cried out, "It is finished." There it is again, accomplishment. Insight for Living has published a colorful coffee table book for you. It's a celebration of the work Christ accomplished on your behalf, and in particular, the events that occurred in the 3 years leading up to Easter. We call it 3 years with Jesus, a pictorial journey through the ministry of Christ. This is the final in a collection of three pictorial devotional books from Insight for Living. And I can tell you, this latest edition is nothing short of spectacular. So I urge you to get a copy for your home today. Don't put off what you can accomplish right now. Ask for the book, 3 Years with Jesus, A Pictorial Journey Through the Ministry of Christ.
And this is the very last day we'll be making this special offer on the program, so we hope to hear from you right away. If you're listening in the United States, call right now, 1-800-772-8888. Your donation is applied directly toward providing the kind of solid Bible teaching you come to expect from Insight for Living. Please be generous in order to help us continue making Chuck's studies available. When you give, be sure to request your copy of the coffee table keepsake, 3 Years with Jesus. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. And online, go to insight.org. Tuesday, Chuck Swindoll resumes our survey through the Bible called God's Masterwork. Join us tomorrow to hear Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Enjoying the Rewards, was copyrighted in 2007, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2012 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.